This is World Lutheran News Digest. The work by the Hehe Weilongasi Lutheran Fihawa.
I'm Kip Allen, host of World Lutheran News Digest. My guest today is Barbara Kay. She's a columnist with Canada's National Post. She recently wrote an article on tough questions on health risks about abortion. A lot of questions that are not being raised and not being answered. Ms. Kay, could you tell me a little bit about yourself and about your newspaper?
Hi, Kip. Thanks for having me on. Yes, I've been writing for the National Post for this is now my 13th or 14th year with the Post. The Post is one of two national newspapers. The other is the Globe and Mail. And the National Post is considered to be right of center in Canada, which I believe would make it probably centrist in the United States.
Or left of center.
Ideology.
our neighbors to the north have a different view of things.
Well, yeah, I mean, we are, by American standards, I would say we're somewhat of a socialist country, closer to Scandinavia, perhaps, than or Europe than the United States. But the National Post does stand for fiscal conservatism and at least welcomes socially conservative views from its columnists, even if it doesn't take an editorial stance, in these areas. Very often it's a more libertarian editorial position, but at least doesn't it's not politically correct in terms of denying a voice to people like me, for example, who have a more socially conservative attitude than most other columnists in Canada.
Well, this column that you wrote, which was published last October, raised some issues that I was unaware of, and I found absolutely fascinating. And thing is that political correctness seems to have actually involved itself into what constitutes women's health. For example, the discussion that you have raised is that there are some long-term effects physically that can be documented, both physically and mentally, with induced abortion, what we call induced abortion.
Mm-hmm.
However, there are also these similar effects and with similar causes for other things. For example, women who are childless, late start pregnancy, early menstruation, who are on the pill or hormone treatment, also suffer these similar effects, which are things like premature birth or breast cancer. And they all have one thing in common, including induced abortion, and that is estrogen proliferation. And yet this is never mentioned in regards to abortion.
No, it's never mentioned because it's too much of a political hot potato. The right to, the absolute right to abortion for any reason that a woman chooses, you know, that that she feels it's necessary, is a kind of litmus test for the feminist movement. And anybody that suggests regulation. In Canada, by the way, we have no abortion law. It was vacated by our Supreme Court, and no law was put in its place. So we actually have no legal restrictions on abortion whatsoever. So it also means we're not collecting data in the same way that we would if we did have regulations. But other countries that do have regulations do collect data. In any case, it is such a political hot potato to adduce any information that would give women pause and make them think about their own health or the health of babies from a future pregnancy. That is considered to be an attack on women's right to choose. So normally, any other operation that you would go into, you would ask your doctor, are there any side effects from this? Are there any, what are the risks associated with this surgical intervention? All that, the kind of questions you would absolutely ask a doctor, you don't ask, or most women never think of asking an abortion doctor because they are not informed that there are any risks at all. And even in abortion clinics, abortion clinic doctors normally will not tell clients that there are any risks whatsoever. So some of the risks that are sort of settled science are that if you have had more than one abortion, the risk of a premature birth, a quite premature birth in a subsequent pregnancy are quite elevated. And with every abortion you have, the risks become that much more elevated. And premature birth and extreme premature birth are associated with many birth defects, blindness, autism, and most pernicious of all, cerebral palsy. So when you see the data on women who have had multiple pregnancies, you very often find the correlation between that and deficits in wanted pregnancies later on. And there have been many studies done on this. I don't think I should go into the actual statistics or data in this conversation, but they can easily be accessed. So, yes, and breast cancer, too, is a highly disputatious area.
So there are definite physical side effects to abortion. This is documented by science, and no one seems to be informed of this. This is the thing that really strikes me about it.
Doctors are afraid to. I've been told by doctors that if they try to inform their women patients, obstetricians or gynecologists, this is interpreted as them having a moral point of view, say, on or trying to dissuade them from having abortions, and that's something that politically becomes, you know, extremely contentious. Here in Canada, we've had some debate. I mean, it's really even risky. It's even hard to debate it. Our prime minister, for example, will not allow anybody in his caucus who is not pro-abortion without any restrictions. Anybody who has any negative feelings about abortion is not. He will not allow them to run for his party. That's how bad it is. No, I mean, forget about introducing motions, as one private member did here a few years ago, asking, you know, we should discuss the idea of when life begins. And that was shot down immediately. If you bring any of these questions, you're considered to be a religious freak, which I'm not, by the way. I don't come to the subject with a religious point of view at all. To me, it's strictly informed consent. I believe that anything you do to your body or any surgical intervention, you should have informed consent. By the way, most people are totally unaware that induced abortion, is the only surgical intervention that we know of today that has never been tested on animals beforehand. That's kind of amazing when you consider that animal testing is the gold standard for surgery. And induced abortion never was tested on animals. It was tested on human beings very briefly before it went into general...
Tested on human beings?
I mean, well, yeah, on women. I think it was Chinese women who went, or might have been Filipino. I don't want to say because I'm not sure, but I think the tests were done on about just a couple of hundred women before it became standard practice. And that's why it's only in the last couple of years that so much of the data has been, you know, coming in decades later about interrupting the natural cycle. If you interrupt the natural cycle, I mean, if a woman has a miscarriage, the body itself has decided to open the cervix and, you know, eject the fetus. But when you have an intervention, when the cervix does not want to be opened and it is opened, this has repercussions in the body. And if it happens more than once or twice, then the usual consequence is a tendency toward premature birth in a future pregnancy. So, you know, people who are opposed to spreading this kind of information will say, "Oh, the risks are very low. It's immaterial." Well, I don't know. I mean, you know, everything is relative. I think in the United States, hundreds of thousands of premature births that have resulted in deficits can be traced directly to the mothers having had more than one induced abortion before that pregnancy. You know, black women in the United States have something like five times the number of abortions as white women, and they also have a very much higher incidence of children born with deficits, including cerebral palsy, much higher than the general population.
And there's been no studies done on the cause of that.
Yeah, these studies, it's not these are no longer coincidental links. The one study, the meta study that if your listeners would like to look up, is a study headed up by a doctor called Swingle, S-W-I-N-G-L-E. And that's a meta study that was done, I think, in 2009 or 2011 of all the previous studies. And it came to the absolute conclusion that induced abortion is absolutely linked causally to premature birth in future pregnancies. So these are not people that have an axe to grind. The people doing these studies are not generally pro-lifers or they're scientists. They're just interested.
They're pro-truth. They're pro-fact. They're pro-truth.
Yeah. I mean, for example, I don't know if your listeners may have ever heard of a book that I could recommend called Complications, Abortion's Impact on Women. And this is written by three scientists, one of whom is pro-choice and two of whom are pro-life. And they, in their introduction, they make it extremely clear that every single thing in this book, it's annotated to the hilt with all the studies, and they, by the way, respond to the usual criticisms by the pro-choice people who keep insisting that this is, it's ideological, it's to do with religion, and they keep saying, no, you're exaggerating, you're this, you're that. But the book speaks for itself because the studies that are referenced, they're all out there. You can look them up, and the statistics are really quite overwhelming. And these are studies that have been done in India, in China. One of the most convincing studies comes out of China. As you know, China had a one-child policy for how many years? 40 years, something like that. Yeah. So, as a result, millions and millions and millions of women were forced to undergo abortions, many of them more than one abortion. And China had always had an extremely low rate of breast cancer statistics. And those breast cancer statistics in the last decade have really shot up very high. And, some people, it's urbanization, they're moving to the city and they're breathing in smog or whatever. But that explanation does not stand up to the actual facts. And a study of millions of women in China really came to the conclusion there was no other possible explanation. The same kinds of studies have been done in Poland. Poland, for example, has for many years had a policy of no abortions at all. You had been able to have abortions, and then they stopped it. Poland or Romania, one of the two, I think it was Poland, and they said no more abortions. And even though I guess some women were having them secretly, but the fact is officially there was no abortion allowed. And in the 10 years following, rates of breast cancer started to go down, or 20 years following, whatever. It takes a certain amount of time to work its way through epidemiologically, but the breast cancer rates started to fall. So I'm not going to convince anybody who believes in pro-choice, because when people want something, they're very resistant to hearing that there's any risk whatsoever, or they will say the risk is so small it's worth, it's not worth talking about. But I'm sorry, when we talk about medicine, we talk about other operations or medications or treatments. You can't watch an ad for anything without getting a list of this may cause, constipation or hallucinations or seizures or whatever. I mean, it's almost funny, or possibly death. And they will say that because, it could be one in a million, but they are now obliged to give you all the information so that you can make an informed judgment on whether you want to take that medication or not. And most people will if it's a very tiny, tiny risk. But if you're not even allowed to say that there can be complications to abortion, yes, there can be side effects, yes, there is a certain elevated risk to a future pregnancy or to, all these things should be known, and then let let women make the choice.
Well, I know a lot of pro-choice people have been saying that the abortion procedure is as safe as a colonoscopy. Well, if you ever get a colonoscopy, you have a lot of things that they tell you about, that there's danger, there's that danger, and...
you're absolutely right. And even, I mean, it is, yes, an abortion is as safe as many other, as most other small surgical interventions. But if you look at overall, and especially in countries where we don't have the medical standards that we have here, abortion is actually a much higher risk for infection and other complications than natural childbirth or giving birth, given the same amount of you know, cleanliness and hygienic and medical treatment available. So, you know, this whole idea that it's so safe that it's not even worth discussing, that's just ridiculous.
Well, we have a court case going on right now in the United States Supreme Court where there is a Texas law now that is requiring Texas abortion clinics to meet the same cleanliness standards and safety standards as outpatient clinics, for example, those that give colonoscopies. And also that their doctors have admitting privileges within local hospitals in case there is an emergency. Now, the pro-choice people are saying, oh, this is a plan to shut down abortion. And the other side is saying, this is a matter of safety. I mean, we require, for example, nail clinics, people who do nails in this country are required to meet certain standards of cleanliness and safety within their own business.
Well, but, I read about that case, and this, to me, just shows you how bullishly ideological people are on this issue, that they would actually prefer that women run the risk of having an operation by a doctor with no privileges at any nearby hospital, so that if there were serious complications, there'd be no place for that woman to go. They would rather she run that risk than cut into the business. And boy, it sure is a big business. Planned Parenthood's operation has gone for something like 5% of their business to something like 30% of their business in the last couple of decades. It's a huge, and since Roe versus Wade, I mean, it's a huge business, and they want to, I'm sure they would like to see it, you know, the business go forward as painlessly as possible for the profit line and for, to ensure that they have as big a clientele as they can, but they would never, you are right, they would never do that for any other intervention. And it is particularly insensitive, considering some of the cases we've seen, like the case of Kermit Gosnell.
Oh, yes.
That disgusting, disgusting sewer that he created and was able to, for so many years, you know, to work in because the regulatory procedure was not efficient and was not, you know, he wasn't kept up to standard. So the Texas, I hope they will, you know, win their case and that the standards will remain high.
Well, it's hard to say. You know, with the death of Justice Scalia now, the Supreme Court is fairly divided for liberals and for conservatives. And the arguments were just heard this week, so they won't rule on it until June.
Well, you know, even a liberal, I think even an honest liberal could say, look, we're talking about a medical procedure here. We're not talking about the right of a woman to have an abortion. We're simply talking about the environment in which she's going to have it, and should it be the same standard as we would apply to any other surgical intervention? So even, I mean, an honest liberal should set aside. This is not a rights issue. This is a
woman's health
regulatory
issue.
You know, medical issue, to me.
Well, Ms. Kay, that's about all the time we have. I was wondering if you have any closing comments, any views that you'd like to raise.
The only thing that I would wish to say is that I wish we could tone down the heat on this issue as one of women's rights and try to shift the language paradigm into women's and children's health. To me, this we should stop talking about this as an ideological issue and ask people to consider it as a medical issue like any other. and ask themselves, you know, what's more important, that women have the right to have an abortion under any circumstances, or that women have the right to be informed and to meet optimum, to see optimum standards met if they do decide to go ahead with an abortion.
Well, thank you very much for your comments and your insights. World Lutheran News Digest may be heard every Saturday at 9:30 a.m. and again on Wednesday at 2:30 p.m. Central Time on Worldwide KFUO Radio. It may also be heard anytime streaming online at kfuo.org. Join us again next Saturday for another new edition of World Lutheran News Digest. I'm your host, Kip Allen.
World Lutheran News Digest is a broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. WLN Digest is produced through the facilities of Worldwide KFUO. You can also listen to WLN Digest on demand at kfuo.org. To correspond with World Lutheran News Digest, email news@kfuo.org.